Welcome back to TRP.
Hi, and a warm welcome back to the Rosslare podcast. Today, Michael Freeman talks to Paddy Whelan, a progressive Wexford farmer, on the challenges facing his industry.
Paddy, you grew up in rural County Wexford. You're a farmer by profession. Was that a career that you choose to follow willingly, or did fate intervene?
Yeah, farming has been in our family for many generations. The Whelans have lived in Ballinruan, which is close to the village of Ballycullan in the parish of Tentern. Farming has always been part of my life growing up. We would have been used to the older ways of farming, whether it was tinning beet or pitching hay or milking the cows in what we call a cow byre. I'm perhaps the seventh generation in my family to be farming. So farming is very much in our blood, as they say. I grew up when farming was more traditional. We used to have sugar beet and barley and wheat. At that time you would have to thin the beet and weed the beet on your knees. We would have to pitch hay with a fork. But of course farming has changed much over the past decades. Now everything is much more automated, and so lifestyle and farming has changed as such.
So you've been there for seven generations. And from what era, from what time?
Much of the stone buildings that you see in South County Wexford in particular were built in or around, or perhaps before, the famine times, around the 1830s and 1840s. And of course Ireland prospered much in the 1870s and 1880s. So our family has lived through many different changes in the economic life of our country. Yes, I've been there. My family has been there for seven generations. My father, of course, would have farmed his father before him, and so on. And of course, farming itself has changed much. But farming is certainly in our blood, and it is something that I grew up with. It's something I like. It's knowledge that I have gained from what I have seen and experienced over the years.
When you were growing up, was your farm a specialist farm like today? In other words, was it mixed farming of tillage and dairying and so on?
Well, of course, a significant milestone in our own farm was when Wexford Creamery was established back in 1962. Prior to that, we would have had dry stock and we would have had cattle. But then we embarked producing milk for the creamery in Wexford. So then we became dairy farmers in the early 60s, and this transformed and perhaps formed my own career path in farming.
And are you still dairy farming today?
We would be predominantly dairy farmers. Myself and my brother John, we have dairy herds. We still do some malting barley for distilling and for the malting industry. Sugar beet, sadly, was disbanded back in 2006 under changes within Europe. But now we concentrate almost specifically on dairying as our main income.
Your brother John, of course, is world famous as a world ploughing champion. When did John take up training to become a ploughing champion?
John has been ploughing now perhaps for about 25 years. He first took up ploughing when he in his late teens, and then took a bit of a break for a number of years, and then seriously threw himself into the art and the skill and the craft of ploughing when he came into his mid-20s. And so under the stewardship of the Ballyclan Ploughing Association, of the many ploughmen from the Ballyclan branch, which is perhaps the most successful ploughing branch in the country, John's path in ploughing grew and grew over the years. He has about 11 national titles, 2 European titles and 2 world titles.
Had you an ambition to follow in his footsteps?
No, I didn't follow in the career of ploughing as a craft. I stayed mainstream in the farming itself. Also, so did my brother John. But he was the one that had a gift for ploughing, and that's where his talents were.
Who influenced him? Was it Martin Cahoe, the well-known, nationally known, internationally known ploughman?
Martin Keogh would be the most famous ploughman in Ireland. But in our own family, we would have cousins who would have been involved. Also, my mother's uncle was a ploughman, a horse ploughman, back in the 30s. So ploughing is in our blood as much as is in the parish.
So, Paddy, you grew up in Ballycullen, in a traditional farming atmosphere. You went to school where?
Yes, Michael, I would have attended the local national school in Ballycullen. And from there then, I went by train to Waterford, to the De La Salle College. And when I completed my leave insert, I attended the Waterford Regional Technical College, where I studied agricultural science. And that completed my formal education.
Simultaneous with going to study agricultural science in Waterford, I presume you carried on farming at home.
The farm at that time was farmed by my late father, Stephen, and my mother, Anastasia, and my brothers, James and John. So the farm, as it would have been known many years ago, was very much farmed by a family rather than by an individual. And this would have been the scene on most farms traditionally, where a husband and wife and children would all work together to run the family farm. Much, of course, has changed over the years, where now maybe only one person manages a farm, or they may have labour employed to help at various times in the year.
So you have seen the transition from subsistence type farming to commercial farming. When did the big change from a subsistence type or a traditional type farming take place?
Well, I suppose Ireland was in a pretty acute recession back in the 1980s, and there was a high level of emigration. And of course, many of my contemporaries emigrated to Australia, to America, and predominantly to England. But the changes were taking place in that a lot of investment needed to happen in this state. And along with that investment, farming had to change. It no longer could survive as a family farm unit. People were forced to take employment if they couldn't live on a farm. By virtue of that fact, we all had to upskill and upscale so that farming could stand on its own two feet. You will find now in modern agriculture where the wife or perhaps the husband will have their own job, work off farm, and the farm has to manage by one person rather than by a family. This natural evolution took place against the background of economic recovery in our state back in the 1990s.
Ireland entered the European Economic Community in 1973. I presume it took 7 or 8 or 9 years for that to translate into greater income for farmers, the introduction of the Common Agricultural Policy and so on. Has that benefited you?
Well, I think all farmers certainly saw a huge increase in their income back in the 1970s. If we study the graph in terms of farmland and the sale of farmland, it would have went from about £500 or £600 at the time to roughly in the late 1970s up to £3,000. So the land market is usually a good indicator of where farming itself is at. Yeah, there was a lot of supports and subsidies from Europe, which greatly increased the lot of farming. But of course, this brought its own difficulties with the price of farming, the inputs, and of course, as we know, in the late 1970s, when there was an oil crisis, how things changed dramatically, and then the impending recession thereafter.
So effectively, that meant that the income coming to the farm from children who might have been employed elsewhere was becoming more significant in subsidising the farm, or was it? I mean, we had as a result of EU policy, we had the need to increase the acreage. At the same time, we had a diminishing number of farmers farming the land, and farms were no longer independent.
Yeah, well, I suppose from an economic perspective, if you study how developed economies, and you have to be mindful of the fact that Ireland wasn't a developed economy back in the 1960s. So The employment in agriculture is roughly sitting around 5 to 7% in a developed economy, whereas Ireland of the 1950s would have been well in excess of 20% would have been employed in agriculture and farming. So it is a natural progression of any developed economy that the employment level would fall. But this isn't a bad thing in itself, because it means that there is opportunities outside the farm gate for siblings of a farm, children on a farm who are growing up, who are now being educated. And then the farm itself, the farming, the commercial aspect of farming, then as it moved from into a developed economy under the EU, the farms then became commercially viable. But this has been a slow and long road. And unfortunately, it's only the large dairy farmers, large tillage operators and very large beef operators that can survive as a standalone entity. We are looking at roughly 120,000 people being registered as farmers in this state, but perhaps only about 30,000 of those would be considered commercial farmers.
In the 1970s, we had about 150,000 farmers, many of them with holdings of as little as 30 acres. And now it would be impossible to maintain a family, grow a family, on less than about 150 acres. Is that your experience?
If you have less than 100 acres in Ireland today, it probably would be impossible to maintain a livelihood or a living unless you had a dairy operation. Certainly if it's sheep or cattle or tillage, you would not be able to derive what we call the minimum wage or the national industrial wage, which is in around 37,000 a year. Most of those farms who are non-dairy would not return that kind of income.
You have other family members who are not engaged in the farm. They are gone. They've gone outside the farm gate. I'm presuming that they are no longer contributors to the farm.
Well, I suppose my family is unusual in that all my brothers and sisters are actually involved in farming. And my three sisters are married to farmers, and they have different types of farm enterprise. One is a dairy farmer, the other is a beef farmer, and the other has an agricultural business. My brother John has his own dairy enterprise, and my brother James, who is now retired, has come back to help me on the farm. So we are all actually actively involved still in farming, which is very unusual, I have to say, in modern Ireland today.
And your sisters, are they living in County Wexford?
All my family live in County Wexford. My eldest sister, Mary, is a senior financial officer with HSC. My second sister, Bridget, works in the healthcare area. And my third sister, Anna, works with a veterinary practice.
You are aware of the changes in the Common Agricultural Policy, or policies recently. How do you reckon that those changes will impact on your farm or your farms?
Well, over the years, over the last 7 or 8 years, in relative terms, our what you would call single farm payment has been reducing and is being reduced. The European budget towards agriculture at one stage stood at over 30%, but now it's closer to 15%. So farming is less subsidised, notwithstanding what public opinion might be of farming. We are now less subsidised today than we were at any time in recent history. The biggest challenge for farming is the climate action and our contribution to climate control. We are being asked to play our part, which we are willing to do, but this is pitted against the backdrop of nations such as Brazil, which is intending to increase its national herd by about 24 million head, pitted against China, which, you know, its attitude towards climate change has yet to be known, or even countries like Russia. So we are part of the European Union. We want to play our part, but we have significant challenges ahead.
And you will cope with those challenges in your particular, on your particular farm or farms. How?
Well, I suppose the use of artificial fertilizer will have to be controlled to a greater or lesser extent. How we manage our carbon footprint will have to be managed and controlled. The ways in which we create energy, whether it is solar or wind, will be part of the investment, either for the state or at an individual level. So there are many aspects and many challenges to how we will contribute to climate change.
And you reckon the country will be able to meet its carbon footprint targets, its climate action targets, by 2030?
I think that there are huge challenges as to our approach to climate change. And I am particularly disturbed by the fact that we intend to eliminate all petrol and diesel engines. This really isn't feasible, and it's perhaps counterproductive in our challenge towards climate change. We should pursue a path of technology in the reduction of engine size and the amount of fuel that we use, rather than supplying on one individual source, which is electrical propelled vehicles. So I think that the challenge with COP26, while it recognises that we do have to reduce fossil fuels, I think that there is a grave error of judgment on behalf of the powers that be. And I am unwilling to accept all that has been told to us in relation to how this can be achieved. I think that smaller engine size, and I think that less use of fossil fuel, would actually achieve our results quicker through improved technology.
Improved technology. Science has an important role to play in the future. And of course, you must be encouraged by the fact that the government invested close on 10 million in a laboratory to that effect at Johnstown Castle, which gave County Wexford its reputation as the leading agricultural science place on the planet at one stage. And also against a background of County Wexford being named the model county because of its production of quality food. I'm presuming you would welcome that development, and also perhaps you'd be inclined to support the more intensive marketing of County Wexford as a quality food producer.
Yes, certainly, as we say, R&D, research and development, has a huge role to play in all aspects of life, whether it is industrial technology or farming. Farmers have always been pioneers when it comes to progress. Wexford is the model county. It has always been a pioneer in terms of farming and agriculture. We have some of the best land in this state, and we are proud custodians of that land. We welcome change. We welcome innovation. We want innovation. We want to be involved in all aspects of cutting-edge technology here in Wexford. And I think that Wexford is not seen as a very rich county, income per capita, but certainly agriculture can have a role and does have a role to play in how we can lift the fortunes of people here in Wexford and play our part nationally.
The economy of the county is mainly dependent on low wage or low income, as you inferred earlier. The big drivers of economic growth are the multinational fintech, pharma companies, the multinationals who all have big influences on our GDP here. Do you think successive governments have done enough, or is it sustainable? Or is it possible to grow our indigenous industries, such as agriculture?
Yes, foreign direct investment is hugely important to any economy. And Ireland is actually the envy of Europe in terms of the amount of money that the American industries, such as Google and Facebook and so on, invest here in Ireland. More than half of the American foreign direct investment into Europe actually comes into Ireland and the Irish state. This is, of course, multifaceted. We are an English-speaking nation, as would the Americans be, and so would the English economy. But England, of course, through Brexit, have taken a different approach to how they want to trade. There is about 180,000 people involved in all the major high-tech industries in this state. But you have to be mindful of the fact that there are 2.3 million people involved, are employed in this state. So whilst they are important and they are critical, they are a mix of many industries that operate in this state. So farming has a very major role to play. We employ about 230,000 people indirectly through service providers, through various co-ops, PLCs, companies, either through mechanization, machinery, various technologies, through Tagisk, advisory services and other independent companies. We are a major player, and with our exports, roughly worth about 11 billion, we create and contribute a massive contribution to the finances of the National Exchequer. So from every facet that you look at it, farming is a major player, an important player, both from an employment point of view and from a financial point of view.
Do you think the organisations or arms of government are sufficiently supportive of change in farming? Organisations like Tagisk, who are to the forefront in this?
I think that the state has worked relatively well. You have Moor Park and Oak Park and various research centres, Johnstown Castle, of course. And they all have a major role to play and have made a massive contribution in terms of science and research and its advisory service. But of course, there's always the blossoming of independent advisory services, and these will be looked at by individual farmers and farm organisations. Farming is evolving all the time, and we have to be mindful of the fact that advice given must be well researched.
Do you think the farm organisations, such as the Irish Farmers Association, or IFA, the Irish Creamery Milk Suppliers Association, or ICMSA, Irish Cattle and Stock Owners Association, also known as the ICSA, are able to influence change or support for farmers at national level and at international level?
I think that all the farmer organisations do represent their own particular farmers to a greater or lesser extent. Of course, the IFA is the largest organisation in the state and would have offices in Brussels and would lobby governments or the European Union on various farm matters. I think, like any industry, you do need to have a voice. And I think that without a voice at the top table, we are lesser rather than greater. So we have to be mindful that we have people who understand our industry, who come from farms, who are farmers, and who then put themselves forward to represent farming at a local and national level. But always mindful that our industry is important and needs to be supported at all levels.
There is a consistent feeling amongst people around the country that we are powerless, the consideration that the European Commission makes the decision on policies that affect farmers, like the Common Agriculture Policy. Do the members of the European Parliament have an impact, in your estimation? And do our politicians here have an impact on their decisions out in Brussels?
Ireland has roughly about a population of 5 million against a European population of 450 million. The number of MEPs pro rata would be, of course, minuscule in terms of the overall European Parliament. We do punch above our weight. We've always made a positive contribution to Europe. We see ourselves as very much European. And this wouldn't have been just in the last number of decades. Ireland, on a different note, has been known as the land of saints and scholars. Just to focus on the scholars aspect, Ireland is always seen as pioneering. Many of our descendants became presidents of the United States. So we have clout both on Capitol Hill and in Brussels, and we would be respected, despite what others might consider, we would be respected in the British Parliament, given our historical influence, particularly Daniel O'Connell and so on. So we've always punched above our weight. You only have to look at St. Patrick's Day. All the major monuments throughout the world are lit up in green. The river that flows through Chicago flows with a green dye. So yes, we do play our part.
You have over a number of years written about the issues affecting farmers, and you have been a contributor to the Irish Farmers Journal and other organs. And now you have written a book which is reflective of farming life of 50s and 60s. What inspired you to write such a book?
Yeah, well, I suppose I've been writing various letters to the editor, articles and so on for about 20 years. The inspiration for the book really came from a conversation I had with a number of people during, would you believe, a canvass, because I'm involved in politics along with other things. And it was at one of these gatherings and that a conversation about farming came about. And somebody talked about farming. And I happened to say, sure, all land is cursed. And it was a quote that stuck with me. So when I went home that evening, I said to myself, Paddy, you know, there's something there. Why don't you write about it? You're able to write. Why don't you commit yourself to writing a book? So 9 months later, a book had been written about the rural Ireland, Ireland of yesteryear. I know that most of the present generation would have no knowledge of what I have written about, but I've set it in a context where you can easily understand it, and it will bring you back 70 years in time. The characters, of course, are all fictional, but the story is real. It's about life in rural Ireland and about the happenings and the goings on. So it's quite relevant and quite real.
Paddy, many thanks.
Keep on listening to TRP.